Next Step, number 707, December 23rd, 2021. Yes, you have come to the right place. This is The Next Step. I'm Father Voskin. On this Christmas Eve, sharing with you some mellow moments right now. O Come All Ye Faithful. That was Amy Grant. And actually, the idea came to me several years ago. I think it was on a Christmas Eve that our podcast was due. And I said, you know, you know how important music is to me and what it means to me. And I said, let me share some Christmas tunes with you. And I can't remember how long ago it was, some time ago. And I shared a Christmas Eve, very special Christmas Eve music edition of The Next Step. And I thought, you know, life changes your tunes, changes your mood. And as I was thinking this today, I was going through some Christmas music, and this just came to me. This Amy Grant version of O Come All Ye Faithful. It was so beautiful that I said, you know what? I know exactly where the next step is going. I know what tonight's next step is going to be about. It's going to be about music, but not just sitting here and playing you a list of different songs, but sharing with you some ideas. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. He goes, O come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. What an idea, huh? What an idea. Let us adore him. Well, I say that because I think a lot of people will say, yes, we adore Jesus. We love Jesus. And I think Jesus addresses that, doesn't he? He says, a lot of people will say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. I saw you. I cared about you. And I'll tell you, I have nothing to do with you. You've caught me on this Christmas week with Christmas in front of us and on this Eve. You've caught me right in the middle of one of the most busiest season, and believe it or not, today was the first day, this Thursday, first day that things just, like, if I could say they went into lower gear, they've been on a nonstop. First of all, our toy drive was fantastic, beyond belief, and I want to thank everybody who participated in the toy drive. If you gave gifts, if you gave money, if you participated, God bless you, because these little children are waking up Christmas morning to unbelievable joy. Not only was it a joyous Christmas for us to be able to deliver that many, but our friends at Stock California, this toy store that we got involved with last year, have been so generous that yesterday we had finished the entire toy drive. We had delivered all the toys, and the owner called me and he said, "I've got more toys for you. I want to donate too." You see, the way it works is like we had people buying from them and we bought from them the money that you sent in. We bought toys and everything. And he was so inspired. He donated almost $5,000 worth of toys yesterday. And it was kind of funny because he said, and you know, I had no idea what he was going to donate. I said, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to be in your area. I'll stop by and get it." And I showed up. I have a little Subaru SUV. And he just looked at it and he started laughing. He says, "There's no way you're going to be able to take it." And that it was a truckload. He sent his son to drive a big truck right behind me. And we went down to the shelter. To their amazement, just so many toys, so much goodness. And, you know, this is all because of a small little dream that we had, that it's okay to repay evil with good. This all began several years ago when we were confronted with the most horrendous of all things, domestic violence that ends in death. I know, yeah, people can argue that domestic violence that continues might even be more horrendous. Maybe death is an escape. And that thought only occurred to me because this week we had to deal with a woman who had left her husband, abusive husband, after several years. And she called up. She called the church. Actually, she came down and the church gave me a call. We got involved and got her into a shelter. And, you know, you think about this, like there's domestic violence where you survive. Yeah, that's also horrendous. But in this case, it was a young girl right across the street from our church who was murdered in a domestic dispute. And I can't forget the day. It was 15 years ago or so. And I went over and there was a police. There was just an entire police situation, of course. I couldn't even get in to see the family. The family's sitting on the curb. It was just a horrible, horrible situation. Yeah, the word horrible is very mild, isn't it? Oh, excuse me. My mind wanders off, just the vision of what we were up against. Anyway, there was a horrendous murder. And several months later, as the family was coming around, this idea dawned on us that, you know, we do toy drives, but what a beautiful idea and expression it would be if we could make the toy drives in the honor of this young lady who passed away. So since that time, we've been calling it the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive, and we collect toys specifically for children who suffer from domestic violence. These are children who otherwise wouldn't be in a family environment. Sometimes, what does that mean, children who suffer from domestic violence? Well, their parents have gotten into disputes, into fights. Some are incarcerated. Definitely they're separated, they're divorced. Some of them find themselves in shelters, and this is where the child comes to. The child has to come along for the ride. No fault of their own, just because they've got these horrible parents who've disputed. And most of the time that horror is on one of the spouses, right? But at the end of it, these are the hidden victims. Because you can see, okay, between spouses, there's a victim, there's one who perpetrates the crime. But the children, they go under the rug. They're unseen. They're in the shadows. And we collect these toys for these children. So we delivered the bulk of the toys that you had donated last Monday. And we needed that few days because, you see, for Santa Claus to deliver it on Christmas Day, we need to wrap them and have to get them. So we took advantage of a long week before Christmas, and we delivered them on Monday so that they could be all in place and everything. And the lady, such a gracious lady who greets us every year on behalf of these children, she comes and talks to us this time, I think, for the first time in all these years. Because you got to remember, working in these kind of places, working in shelters, working with these people, it is very, very demanding on your emotions. I have a dear friend who had to do work for Instagram and Facebook. She had to actually censor a lot of the garbage that's on these platforms. I mean, when you look at Facebook with 3 billion people, I mean, almost half of the world's population is on Facebook. You could imagine what assortment of garbage is on there. And she didn't last. She didn't last there. It was only a few months after which she just couldn't take it anymore. And she said that they, Instagram, Facebook, Google, these places provide psychological counseling for their employees because of the things that they see online. And now imagine these children see not online, they see it in person. They see it in person. And the toys, when we delivered them, this lady who greets us all the time, she was so moved. Because working there day in and day out, you get desensitized. You almost have to be desensitized as a defense mechanism for yourself. Otherwise, you get sucked in. As I said, they have counselors to help the counselors. It's so overwhelming, the disgusting things that these people see. And the same way when you're working with domestic violence people, people who have gone through domestic violence, and especially children. And for the first time in a long time, when she saw the toys and she started greeting us, she broke down. She got choked up. And it's a very sensitive moment. We're there with volunteers. We're coming from the Armenian church, from an Armenian community where we've known violence. We've been on the receiving end of violence. And here we are helping out other people. And you tell me, is there any ministry? Is there any ministry that can put this, that can connect the dots this way? Unless you do it through the love of Jesus Christ. It is only through the love of Jesus Christ that it makes sense to connect those dots in this manner. Otherwise, you go out there and you do good work. And that's nice. That's nice. But it's that humanization factor that we need to do. This is why it's so important. This is why it's part of the teachings of Armadoxy. It's not about a life to come. It's about the here and now. It's about making the presence of God right now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, the heaven part is let him deal with it. Hey, we're responsible for an earth. He gave it to us, right? Okay, we're responsible for it. Let's get with the program and start finding means, the manner in which we can extend ourselves and extend love to one another. And we see this through these programs. So I've got to tell you, to every one of you that participated in the toy drive, thank you. God bless you. We have a lot of people who've been part of it. And you're not looking for thanks. That's what's so beautiful about it. I think the thanks you already feel, just knowing that these children are waking up with these toys. We are sending some money to Armenia. That's going out next Tuesday. We do have some extra funds that are earmarked just for the children in Armenia, not necessarily domestic violence, although there will be a few of them, but these will be kids of war veterans, of these young boys who went to war last year, some of them who lost their lives, their orphaned children. We're going to be reaching out to them next week. We're shipping over. The money should be there before the new year. And in Armenia, what's nice is that Santa Claus, you know, he comes down here in America on the 25th. Takes a while to get through the whole world. So they don't have their Santa Claus. Garant is the new year. Garant Baba is the new year, the New Year's Claus. So he gets there on in time to deliver these toys for the first of the year. So we're excited about that as well.
Come, they told me, Barabapampa, a newborn king to see, Barabapampa. Our finest gifts we bring, Barabapampa, to lay before the king, Barabapampa, Rabapampa, Rabapampa. So to honor him, Barabapampa, when we come. Little baby, Barabapampa, I am a poor boy too, Barabapampa. I have no gift to bring, Barabapampa, that's fit to give our king, Barabapampa. Shall I play for you, Barabapampa, on my drum?
I know you're asking yourself, wow, it's Christmas. Why are you talking about so many depressing things? It's not about depressing. It's about lovely things. It's about beautiful things. The Little Drummer Boy. That was Joan Baez. It's one of my favorite frame bit carols of Christmas, especially the way she does it. They invited the drummer boy to come. He has no gifts to give. A king. The King of Kings is right there. And he comes and he brings what he has, that drum, and he plays it for him. And I think about this every time when we were talking about the toys, and we were talking about giving to these children who have no way of paying back. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus Christ came in the most humble of manners. That's what Christmas is about. That the God of the universe humbles himself. That's what it's about. Whether you want to believe the story or not, listen to the storyline. It's about a God caring so much. It's about God being the fulfillment of love. loving his creation so much that he gives his all, humbles himself, and becomes one of us. To understand the pain, to tzavadanim, to walk in the shoes of a people. And in so doing, for us to understand, open our eyes that our only salvation in this world is by humbling ourselves. This past weekend, we had a deacon's conference in Burbank. I'm in charge of a deacon's council for the Western Diocese. And in so doing, it's an opportunity to bring together different deacons. Now, deacons is an interesting idea because they're not priests. If you read the Bible, there are three ranks of clergy. There are deacons who assist the priest. There are priests, and there are bishops or overseers of dioceses. This is what biblically it is. So, you know, like this, and the overseer, there is one overseer over a diocese, which is a geographic area, okay? The Diocese of Los Angeles, the Diocese of New York, the diocese in Armenia, there's so few Armenians that it would be a larger area than a city, the Diocese of the Western United States or the Eastern United States, of Canada, of Australia, the Diocese of the Middle East, of London, and so on. You get the idea. Geographic areas. And there are bishops who are overseers. That's why when people come up to me and they say, you know, like, oh, well, it's okay. We've got two churches. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. For some reason, these are the same people that'll stick to the idea that in the Bible it says you've got to wear a head covering. Oh, yeah, women. What's wrong with you? Don't you wear head coverings? They'll tell you about it. They'll tell you that gays are horrible people because in the Bible it says this thing. But it's the same people who, when you point and you say, hey, we've got a couple bishops floating around here, and it's no, it's okay. It's okay. You know, we're all the same. No, it's not okay. It's not about being the same. It's about understanding what the rule is. Now, you want to bend it. You want to change it. That's fine, too. But accept that you're doing that, okay? Accept that you're doing that because we all do it. We all pick and choose those things that are comfortable for us. And I don't care what people say about cafeteria Catholics and all that. They have these kind of nice little ways of identifying a cafeteria Catholic. Like you go and you choose what you want. I think this became popular when there was issues of birth control. The Vatican had said no birth control. Well, we'll do birth control because it's okay for us, but we're against these things. Or the same thing which we're hearing now about the abortion debate, you know, those things that you want, you feel comfortable with, you adopt. And people say, well, it's wrong. It's either all or nothing. But no, it's not about all or nothing, because since the beginning of time, people have done that. Jesus has said one thing and people have understood it in their way. For instance, he says, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. Okay, now how many people are blind? How many people have plucked out their eyes? And I honestly don't think Jesus wanted you to pluck out your eyes. If your hand offends you, cut it off. No, it's not about that. These are figures of speech, and you are free to understand it the way you want, but they're dangerous when you don't. Now, of course, these are severe examples that I used, but there are different examples. For instance, the story of Christ in the manger. It's about humility. It's about God humbling himself, coming there. We were together last Saturday, and Father Mardiros Chevian from St. Nersis was with us. We were in front of the diocese. There's a big life-size manger scene where you have Jesus in the manger and you have everyone. And he made a very astute observation. He says, in that scene with all these figures over there, the Jesus figure is the smallest. Is the smallest in that manger scene. And yet all of the big ones, whether it's Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, all the other figures are huge. And yet all of them humble themselves. All of them take a knee in the presence of Christ. Now look what a beautiful story that is. About humility. About understanding that Christ is our answer. And you humble yourself. It's the way you understand that that brings you closer to God. Now, this is the way I understand it. This is what Armenian Orthodoxy says. But there are people who will argue with you and they'll say, no, it's about going to heaven. And this is a story about I go to heaven and you don't, and so on and so on. Now, you can argue till you're blue in the face with these people. You're not going to change their mind. It's just like right now we have this big debate about get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. There's people who will suffer through COVID, will see their parents die, will see all kinds of stuff happen, and they will still argue with you that no, vaccines are wrong. Now, you're not going to change your mind. You're not. And this is what I mean about cafeteriaizing our faith. It's not about we want to or it's good or bad. We all do it. We all take, we all pick and choose the parts that speak to us.
I say.
Now, depending on how your ears have been tuned, depending on your age, depending on a lot of factors, that tune could be called Green Sleeves. Yes. It could also be called What Child Is This? And of course, what we heard was the Armenian version of this. Ais Inch Manuge, What Child Is This? Beautiful, huh? That was, of course, Ara Dabanjan and the Element Band. And you know I'm going to have all of these show notes. I always encourage our listeners, support these beautiful artists that play such beautiful music. As off that, the Spirit of Christmas album, the entire album is just packed with these gems. But I played it right now because look at the transition. We go from Christmas, and we go to Christmas in Armenian language, not necessarily Armenian Christmas, which is very technically a different ceremony. Namely, it's the revelation of God, theophany. But Christmas refers to the nativity. And so we have picked and chosen those things that make sense to us. Yeah, is this cafeteriaizing? No, it isn't. It speaks to us. It speaks to me. And so when I hear a Christmas carol done in Armenian, to me it's beautiful because it's not about December 25th. It's not about theophany. It's about Jesus Christ. You can put all the names you want. You could call it nativity. You could call it theophany, the visit of the Magi, or whatever name you want. But at the end of the day, it has to revolve around Jesus Christ. He has to be at the center of it all. Now, it's interesting because when we get to Christmas, there's so many wide variations. There are sticklers. There are sticklers who will just fight with you. I'm talking about in the Armenian community, and I'm sure it's the same within the Greek community, within the Russian community, the Orthodox community, when it comes to the January 7th date, when it comes to the visitation of the Magi, or the baptism of Christ. I know they will argue with you. In fact, you know, there's a video that I made several years ago about the differences between December 25th and January 6th. It's gone viral. It's in the weirdest of places. I think the last I saw it was close to 1 million hits or something. And it's on the Diocesan website or a Facebook page. Anyway, I go through this little kind of lighthearted review. That's the way to say it. It's not some theological statement or anything. It's lighthearted. It's made for social media. And in it, I talk about the difference between December 25th and January 5th. And I talk about also the importance thing. This is how I conclude, is that it is not about the dates, but it's about the spirit. It's about celebrating Christmas every year. Now, can you buy into that? I can, for instance. To me, I'm fine, in August. August 18 to me is a Christmas day, too. Yeah, it is. I could buy into Christmas in May. I could buy into Christmas in February. These are all dates that are basically opportunities for us to focus in on what is important in our life, the birth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be on December 25th. That was the point of it. Okay, so I see this. I get this email, like, I think 3 or 4 days ago. So, by the way, this video resurfaces every Christmas. People start posting it, and I think that's how it went, got so many hits through the years. Anyway, people resurface it. So I get an email from somebody and is telling me that, you know, let's discuss this. You know, like, I got nothing to do. Let's sit and discuss it because somebody has dug up information that in the first century, Christmas was celebrated on December 25th. Can you imagine that? And Father Voskin, in his video on social media, which is not a scholarly event, but rather a lighthearted attempt at trying to get people to understand. It's not about the date. Father Voskin said, no, January 6th was the original date. Well, actually, you know what? It is. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people do. We know because, listen to this, the Armenian church was there before all of their dates and everything like that. Christmas was not celebrated. Don't they get it? Christmas was not a big deal. Jesus was born. So was everybody else. The big deal, the first gospel, the first celebration of the Christian church was not Christmas, not nativity. It was the resurrection. That's what was different. That's what was different about Christ. He died and came back to life. And that's the victory that people celebrated. In fact, the first Sunday after, when they sat down and they shared the Eucharistic meal, it was talking about resurrection. It wasn't until long, long later that people said, okay, well, if we're celebrating his death and resurrection, it's time for us to celebrate his birth. And they put down a few dates and things like that. And they realized that really the main event was not his birth even. It was his baptism. Because it was after his baptism that he began his ministry. Ah, yeah, that's why we call the baptism the second birth, right? It is. It's an important event that takes place in the life of our Lord. And according to Scripture, we see it's right after baptism that he starts evangelizing and actually fulfilling his mission. So, it's not about dates. But people want to still deal with it. That's their business, you know. It's not mine. It's not mine. I really don't care. I don't care what date. To me, December 25th, I love celebrating Christmas. And I will celebrate it on December 25th and January 6th. And here's something else. I will celebrate it every day of my life by proclaiming that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is born and revealed among us.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Divine. us in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, our weakness, no stranger. Behold your King before him, lowly bend. Behold your King.
O Holy Night, Harry Connick Jr. Everybody kneels down. It's just so beautiful. And so, along this theme about getting out there and getting this and cafeterizing and all these themes that we talked about, enter Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is another one that gets a very bum rap. People talk about him like he's trying to take over the Jesus story. Nah, it's a beautiful idea that there is something magical about Christmas. The entire Christmas story is a magical story. Think about it. From beginning to end, from the conception, all the way to Jesus' birth in a manger. It's beautiful, and it's magical. That night, with the stars flashing and the wise men and the angels in the sky. It's magical. So anyway, Santa Claus, somebody posts something on social media. We're going to pick on social media a little bit. It says, Santa tells politicians that they are on his naughty list for climate betrayal, stating, here is the truth that each one of you know. If the earth were a bank, it would be saved long ago. So somebody's made a little video about Santa Claus talking about climate change and about the dangers that we're up against and the need for us to take care of the planet. Wow! Isn't that beautiful? So somebody's made this video about Santa Claus giving a message about global warming, about the North Pole where he's from, right? It's underwater and everything because the ice caps are melting. Okay, very nice message, right? What are people arguing about? They're talking about, is Santa Claus American? We shouldn't be listening. It's Santa Claus. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Don't believe in Santa Claus. All of a sudden, people are engaged in this kind of talk now. Now, come on, tell me. What is the purpose of this? The purpose is to get us to focus in on something that's happening, right? Now, argue that point. Argue that point, and, you know, that's fine. But it's Santa Claus is the messenger. But people get hung up on these issues. It's the same about religion. Jesus comes and talks about love, about understanding, about tolerance. And then we get into this whole idea, well, it's Jesus. I can't do Jesus. Can't do the Jesus thing. You remember that story? Yeah. I'm in Glendale City Hall. I'm talking about domestic violence to the city council. And one of the city attorney comes up to me and she's like gonna, you know, teach me like what to do. She goes, now remember, you can say anything you want, but you cannot identify a deity. What? Yeah, that was the words she used. This is Glendale, California. Big, big Armenian population. And the city attorney happens to be Armenian. You know, one of the children of the oldest Christian nation, she tells me. You can't identify a deity. Namely, you can't say the word Jesus. I said, what are you talking about? I really looked at her. I go, what are you talking about? Like, You know, she was talking to me like I'm some guy who just came in off the boat, and she's going to teach me that in America, you cannot say the word Christ. I said, I'm sorry. Born and raised here in America, I know the Constitution. I knew what my freedoms are. I'm not here to talk to you about Jesus. I'm here to talk about domestic violence. And in my capacity as a priest, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am talking about that. But it's not about evangelization. It's not about trying to push my feelings on you. It's talk about a real issue. But this is what people get hung up on the secondary issues. And it's the same thing. You know, there's like real problems in the world and that people get caught up on. Let's identify with Santa Claus. Is he real? Well, you know, Santa Claus is a myth that originated with Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas happens to be a saint of the Greek Orthodox Church. So therefore, Saint Nicholas was a Greek. And that's where, give it a break, folks. Give it a break.
Reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. So long, I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I made my baby cry. To help me, you know, he put me at ease, and he loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. Now I gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to reindeer singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. Thank you.
are there songs that you just can't explain why you like it? They just give you warm feelings, they give you goosebumps, they transport you somewhere else, and you can't put it, you can't logically understand it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. That's what this song is for me. River by Joni Mitchell. It's on the top of my Christmas chart. And I think that's what I want to wish you, to my listeners who have been with me for so long. Even if this is your first time, trust me, it gets kind of wild on other days, but thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you my deepest feelings and to really design what Armadoxy is about, the picking and choosing of something so beautiful called love. Now, it's not about wishy-washiness. It's about understanding what it's all about. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to give you a blessing today. In our Bible study group, we meet every Monday evening. This next week, right after the New Year, we're going to be having a home blessing. We do home blessings in the Armenian Church, particularly after Christmas and after Easter every year. People call their priest over to bless their home. They bless the water, the bread, and the salt for their physical and spiritual needs, and salt for the flavor of life. And so with the Bible study group, we're going to be blessing homes virtually. And I know people are going to say, like, oh, you can't do it virtually. Guess what? We're going to do it. And that's what the beauty of all of this is about. Jesus came into the world. He was born of a virgin. And people said, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. And he did it. He said, you've got to love your enemies. People said, you can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. And he did it. So we're going to do it. And really, it's the way we've been doing things. Listen, life is a celebration. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about celebrating that life. I know we're going through a very, very difficult year. We're going through a lot of fear in our lives, especially with the pandemic. And, you know, it's hitting across all kinds of places. You know that your life has changed because you're living in that fear. And will it happen? What's that cough? What's that sneeze? What's happening there? You know, give yourself a break. Focus in on the little child. You've done everything. You've got vaccinated. Wear a mask. You're doing everything you can. At some point, let it be enough. Say it's enough. And turn it over to God and enjoy this beautiful season. I'm going to leave you today with a very special blessing. It's a blessing that I've heard on several occasions. Actually, I heard it at a concert that Ian Anderson had done in a cathedral. I think it was in London, somewhere in London. I want to say Great Britain, but I'm pretty sure it was in London. And it was in a church, in a cathedral. It was part of his Christmas series. And in between the songs, a priest read this blessing. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Merry Christmas to all of you, and to all of you, good cheers. Listen, on behalf of the wonderful producer we have, Susie, who produced not only this show, but for the last 14 years, every single show, and myself, this is Father Voskin, wishing you all the best, and inviting you next week when we will get back to things. But for the meantime, I hope you enjoyed today's special edition, the Christmas 2021 edition of The Next Step. And of course, what gonna next step with Father Voskin be without a Jethro Tull song? Here is Another Christmas Song.
Fine morning. Hope everyone's connected to that long distance phone. Old man is a mountain. Old man is an island. Old man is awaking, says I'm gonna call. Call all my children home. Dancing to their own drum this fine morning, yeah. The beat of distant Africa or a Polish factory town. Old man is calling for his supper. He's calling for his whiskey. Calling for his sons and daughters, yeah. Calling, calling all his children round. Ears attuned in to the drones and chanders warming, yeah. Mist blowing round some headlands somewhere in your memory. Everyone is from somewhere, even if you've never been there. So take a minute to remember the part of you that might be the old man calling me. Many wars you're fighting out there this Christmas morning, yeah. Maybe there's always time for another Christmas song. Old man, he's asleep now. He's got appointments to keep now. Dreaming of his sons and daughters. Proving that the blood is strong.
Yeah, Jesus is the reason of the season?
Yeah.
That's a good quote.